Coming up, a planned visit to Letterkenny by the Taoiseach has been cancelled. Low and middle income earners are bearing the brunt of the spiralling cost of living. That's according to Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty, who was speaking in the Dáil this afternoon. The fire service last night battled for over 5 hours to bring a gorse fire under control in Inishowen. 4 men arrested as part of the investigation into a shooting in Strabane have been released, and works are due to commence in the coming days to improve the water supply in Letterkenny. Good evening. Kenny Harkin will be here too with all the latest in sport. We're turning to our top story, though. A planned visit to Letterkenny by the Taoiseach has been cancelled. Micheál Martin was due to host a lunch at the Radisson Blu Hotel in the town, organised by the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In a statement, Christine Reynolds, the president of Letterkenny Chamber, said it's with great regret that the event to be hosted by Letterkenny Chamber with Taoiseach Micheál Martin will not go ahead as planned after consultation with the department. She says the Chamber is extremely disappointed they will not now have an opportunity to meet with the Taoiseach in Donegal. She says the intention was to emphasise the economic needs of the county and the region, including MICA redress. The president of the Chamber says they have missed a perfect opportunity to put the concerns of members directly to the Taoiseach. Concluding, Ms Reynolds says they will continue to engage with all political parties and government for the advancement of Letterkenny and the North West region.
The tourism minister is urging anyone in Ireland with a holiday home to consider making it available to house refugees. Fáilte Ireland predicts there could be anywhere between 30,000 and 60,000 holiday homes across the country. That would free up over 200,000 bed spaces if at the higher end of the scale. Tourism Minister Catherine Martin is urging anyone with such a home to consider it, making it available for a short period.
You know, I would appeal to the owners of holiday homes to give that serious consideration to those who are seeking refuge, who are fleeing the most horrific of unimaginable circumstances, and that might be something really worth serious consideration.
Low and middle income earners are bearing the brunt of the spiralling cost of living. That's according to Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty, who has been questioning the government's response to the rise in energy prices once again in the Dáil this afternoon. Deputy Doherty commented that two-thirds of homes in the North West use home heating oil as their primary source of heating, and yet there has been no reduction in the excise duty. He says many households are effectively at breaking point and asked what more is the government going to do about it.
Minister, you didn't answer not one of the questions I put to you. Not one. You are the minister with responsibility for energy, yet the only thing we hear is energy provider after energy provider after energy provider telling customers they're hiking up their prices, and nothing from you. Silence from you. Deafening silence from you. Bord gas, €775 extra on the bill of a household. Electric Ireland, €518 on the bill of a household. What's the minister with responsibility for energy saying? Nothing. So let me put the questions again. Have you formally sought the derogation to reduce VAT on energy bills? Do you support the reduction of VAT on energy bills down to zero? And when is this process going to be concluded? And in terms of your conversations with ESB that made profits of close to €700 million, paid dividends of over €100 million to the state, have you talked to them in relation to ensuring that its subsidiary, Electric Ireland, the biggest provider of energy in the state, who've just told its customers they're ramping up prices, both in the unit cost and in the standard charge, that this needs to be reduced as far as possible to support customers at the time? Please, Minister, with responsibility for energy, can you say something relevant to price increases that are happening every single household across the state at this point in time?
Responding Transport Minister Eamon Ryan said the government is actively trying to tackle the challenges, but says if extreme measures were introduced, other vital services would ultimately suffer.
It'd be very easy for me to come in here and say, oh, we're going to cut VAT. And they're very, very kind of nice. But the question, and the reason I mentioned Minister Donoghue, is he would rightly come back and say, how are we going to fund everything we need to do? And that is the reality that we face in government that you can't ignore, because we do have mounting things that we have to pay for. We will continue to do additional measures. We will have to, and we will do it with the European Union. Yes, we're talking in the Union. That's what the discussions were in Berlin and in Paris last week to look at what can we change here to help reduce our weakness. But they come back and say, yes, we will look at the market, look at all the structures, not rule anything in or out. But the fundamental thing that everyone has agreed on, that the thing we need to accelerate is the reduction in the use of the fuels, because otherwise what we would be doing is giving funds back to Russia. He's spending roughly €500 million a day.
Support the reduction in VAT on energy bills.
I can say, first of all, we will not do the October budget here now. We will look at further additional measures.
Four men arrested as part of the investigation into the shooting of a male teenager in Strabane earlier this year have been released following questioning. The men, one aged 22, 27 and two aged 37, were arrested under the Terrorism Act yesterday by detectives from the Police Service of Northern Ireland's Crime Department as part of their investigation into the shooting of the 19-year-old at around 20 past 7 on the 9th of February in the Spring Hill Park area. A 36-year-old man arrested on Tuesday under the Terrorism Act as part of this investigation was also released. The investigation continues. The fire service last night battled for over 5 hours to bring a gorse fire under control in Inishowen. The blaze broke out between Greencastle and Shrove. Three fire engines from across the county were in attendance. Local councillor Martin Farron has reiterated the warning from Donegal County Council for people to be extra cautious during dry weather.
There was a very large gorse fire last night. It was Upper Carrickhue. It's between Greencastle and Shrove, and it was attended by three fire brigades. These type of things can get out of hand very, very quickly. So I would just like to ask people to be very careful at this time of the year during this very dry spell, because as you know yourself, it takes very little to set these type of fires off. Simple things like maybe cigarette butts, or someone out camping maybe just didn't extinguish their fire.
Yeah.
So anyone that's out walking or if they see anything smouldering at all, please dial 999 immediately, because this type of thing here, if it can be got in time, it can prevent these very large gorse fires, which are very, very dangerous and can, you know, thankfully there are no people injured and there are no property damage, but that again was all down to the fire service. This type of thing is preventable. People would take more responsibility, but if, God forbid, if there had been a serious road accident last night or say a house fire, you know, like those three units are basically out of the equation.
The president of the LYIT says he believes the term Atlantic Technological University will soon become part of the norm in the region. Paul Hannigan was speaking on what is effectively his last day in the post. From tomorrow, LYIT will cease to exist and it will become the Letterkenny and Killybegs campuses of the new ATU. On today's 9 till noon show, Paul Hannigan said the new institution will be a significant one.
Today is the last day of existence of LYIT as an institute, so it formally finishes off tonight and then we move into the Atlantic Technological University from tomorrow. We're very anxious that the Atlantic Technological University will become part of the normal parlance. So it's a very strong name and I think it captures a lot of the region that we're talking about. You have a situation where you're setting up a new university and there'll be one president, one governing body, one academic council. So that unifies the three existing institutions into one from the very beginning. And then, you know, we've really got to look at what's the most efficient structures for running the organisation, while at the same time, you know, we have to operate as one and as a new university. We're also very conscious of the regional dimension. We're moving from, you know, Letterkenny IT is an institution of 5,000 students with around 400 staff. We're now route to an institution with 22,000 students with 2,500 staff, and all of the additional, you know, power and strength that comes with that. When the dust settles on all of this, you'll have the Dublin Technological University as the biggest one and we'll be the second biggest. So from our perspective, you know, our bargaining power has improved, our scale has improved, and, you know, we should be able to bring a lot of the capacity and capabilities of the other campuses within the university to bear here in this region as well.
A major conference will take place in West Donegal this weekend. Hundreds of delegates will travel to Dunloe to attend the Ógra Fianna Fáil National Youth Conference. It coincides with a visit to the county by Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Policy, local elections and the prospect of a united Ireland are to dominate discussions this weekend. Secretary of Donegal Ógra Fianna Fáil, Gavin McGowan, says the conference is an opportunity to showcase Donegal.
We're just absolutely delighted here to be able to invite and welcome the hundreds of delegates that will be coming from across the country to participate in the Ógra Fianna Fáil National Youth Conference. We also will have the huge honour of welcoming Taoiseach Micheál Martin to the county to participate and the conference. I mean, it's fabulous to be able to bring everyone here to Donegal. I mean, it means a lot to the local communities. I've no doubt at all it's going to be a huge boost to the economy. I'm hearing of hotels booked out. There's no doubt that the bars will be packed in the evening, the shops will be busy. We thoroughly hope that everyone will enjoy the weekend of what is sure to be a fantastic opportunity to discuss the various policies and motions and current affairs of the day.
And indeed, as it relates to the Taoiseach's visit, it's an opportunity for him to see firsthand the pressing issues that affect those within Donegal.
Absolutely, Michaela. I mean, there's so much going on here in the county. You know, obviously the mica issue, and I do believe that the Taoiseach is going to meet with the mica campaigners. And in his own, I believe Minister McConnell Logue had said, you know, we have huge issues here in relation to the fisheries. There's huge issues in relation to inflation. You know, the cost of things are really going up, and of course the government is actively working against that. I hear them, they're going to Europe to ask to permission to take down the tax rates on fuels and that. So it's a perfect opportunity for Taoiseach to meet with the people of Donegal and to show that he is active on the ground. And Ógra Fianna Fáil in Donegal is honoured to be able to welcome Taoiseach to Donegal and to Donlow.
Works are due to commence in the coming days to improve water supply in Letterkenny. Irish Water says Wolfetone Place will benefit from a more secure and reliable supply once the works are done. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Working in partnership with Donegal County Council, Irish Water will replace almost 250 metres of old water mains along Wolfetone Place with new modern pipes, which will reduce the number of bursts and water outages. The works will also involve laying new water service connections from the public water main to a new water supply. Speaking about the project, Declan Colley, Leakage Reduction Programme Regional Lead with Irish Water, says the essential works together with the leakage savings and upgrade works to date will safeguard the water supply in Letterkenny Town now and into the future, as well as supporting future growth and development. Temporary traffic management will be in place for the duration of works, which are due to be completed in May.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for sport. We say good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Catherine. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and head coach Greg McWilliams says Ireland's progress won't be defined by Saturday's result away to France and the women's Six Nations. Ireland are firmly the underdogs for the game in Toulouse, especially after last week's defeat to Wales. He's named an unchanged starting 15, and McWilliams has confidence that in time the Ireland team can prosper.
The vision that we have is one that we have full confidence in. That doesn't change this weekend against France. No matter what the result is, we're really comfortable with our process. And we just got to get better at it. And it's going to take a bit of time maybe for us to gel and to link and to build up our caps and to build our cohesion. But I'm just like, where else do you want to be? You're representing Ireland. You're heading over to France.
In soccer, Republic of Ireland women's team boss Vera Pauw has named a 27-strong squad for the World Cup qualifier away to Sweden on Tuesday, April the 12th. Donegal's Kira Grant and Amber Barrett are once again included in the squad. And there's a first official call-up for London City Lioness midfielder Lily Ag. And there are six players in the panel from the Women's National League included. Aoife Colville, whose grandmother hails from Donegal, is one of the six missing the game in Gothenburg because of injury. And Irish international Katie McCabe is in the Arsenal starting 11 for this evening's Champions League quarter-final second leg. The women's Super League side are level at a goal apiece with Wolfsburg ahead of the 5:45 start in Germany. Later, Juventus, they take a 2-1 lead into their second leg away to seven-time winners Lyon. Locally, the FAI Schools Ulster Junior Girls Cup final played today. There was victory for Scullwarra Buncrana, who defeated Cairndona Community School by 1-0 today. Bria McGillaway with the goal for Scullwarra. And there's a big occasion in Buncrana tonight, the Centenary Shield. That's under 18 boys international. The Republic of Ireland play Northern Ireland. That's in McGinn Park in Buncrana. In Buncrana, that's a 7 o'clock kickoff. Ollie Horgan and Mickey McGlynn are part of a backroom team of the Republic of Ireland. So big occasion there in Buncrana tonight. And the seedings for tomorrow's World Cup group stage draw has been confirmed, with England in the top spot. They're joined by teams including Brazil, France and tournament host Qatar. The Netherlands, Germany and Croatia could be among their opponents in pot two. Wales, they're among the lowest seeds but are still waiting to find out if they'll play Scotland or Ukraine in their playoff final. And the Premier League clubs have voted in favour of permanently introducing five substitutions next season. The measure was introduced during Project Restart after the first COVID-19 lockdown, but teams reverted back to three subs at the beginning of last campaign. And they've also confirmed they'll drop twice weekly coronavirus testing next week and will only carry out checks on players and staff who have symptoms. And Rangers, they have terminated their contract to play in the Sydney Super Cup during the break for the World Cup in Qatar. The Scottish Premiership champions were due to face Celtic in the first Old Firm derby to be played outside of Scotland in November. In golf, Rory McIlroy's made the turn at level par on the opening day of the Valero Texas Open on the PGA Tour. Graham McDowell, he's two over through nine. Australia's Matt Jones, he leads in the early stages. He's on five under par. And Leona Maguire's birdied the opening hole of her first round at the Chevron Championship. That's the first women's major of the year. Stephanie Meadow doesn't tee off until later on at 8:30 Irish time. Lauren Stevenson is the very early leader in California. She's on two under par. And finally for this evening, on the score tonight after the 7 o'clock news, there'll be the League of Ireland football is back tomorrow night. We'll hear from Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan and Derry City manager Rory Higgins. Bonagie play in the quarterfinals of the FAI Intermediate Cup for the first time this weekend. We'll hear from their manager Jason Gibson. And Kieran Tobin is the under 20 Donegal football captain. They start their Ulster Championship campaign on Friday against Armagh. And Paul Byrne joins us with the Donegal under 20 hurlers up against Mayo in the All Ireland quarterfinal. And Sean McFadden talks to us about the Donegal 5-5-5 and 3-3-3. And by the way, if you can't wait until tonight after the 7 news, Ollie Horgan and Kieran Tobin are now available to listen to and watch in the sports section at highlandradio.com. That's the score after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Catherine.
Thanks, Kenny. Weather now. Scattered showers of rain, hail and sleet will become isolated this evening, but some may fall as snow over hills and mountains. Sunny spells this evening, but feeling cold. Cold tonight too, with long clear spells and a widespread frost. Temperatures between -2 and +1 degrees. Closing headlines now. A planned visit to Letterkenny by the Taoiseach has been cancelled. Micheál Martin was due to host a lunch at the Radisson Blue Hotel in the town, organised by the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce this weekend. The Tourism Minister is urging anyone in Ireland with a holiday home to consider making it available to house refugees. And low and middle income earners are bearing the brunt of the spiralling cost of living. That's according to Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty, who has been questioning the government's response to the rise in energy prices once again in the Dáil today. That's it for now. We're back with more at 6. Stand by. Chris Ashmore is here with all the latest in farming, and the obituary notices will follow thereafter. Good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be looking at the Wild Atlantic Nature Project and a number of public information meetings in Donegal next week. But first, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue has announced the schedule for in-person basic payment scheme clinics. These will assist farmers in making their BPS applications and other related applications online. Indeed, Minister McConnell-Logue is urging all farmers to submit their BPS applications at the earliest possible opportunity before the deadline of the 16th of May. If farmers have already submitted their BPS application for this year and they now want to take on additional land or change the crop type, they can log back into agfood.ie to make any amendments, but they must make sure they do so before that deadline. The clinic for Donegal will be held in Jackson's Hotel in Balbuffet on the 26th of April from 9:30 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Derek McLaughlin is the project manager for the Wild Atlantic Nature Life Integrated Project, which has a pilot programme that's been very successful in Mayo. Now it's hosting two farmer information meetings in Donegal. The first is in Meenanerie Community Hall in Carrick next Monday, and the second is in the Highlands Hotel in Glenties on Tuesday. Both are from 7 to 9pm, and he's been outlining more about just what is involved.
How are you doing, Chris? And thanks a million for having me on. Well, the Wild Atlantic Nature Life IP is a fairly big project that spans a lot of different areas. We actually focus on blanket bog, conservation of blanket bog. Our project areas stretch from pretty much Galway Bay all the way up to the north of Donegal, and covering maybe 35 blanket bog SACs. So a key part, from your listeners' perspective, a key part of the project will be our pilot project, a pilot results-based payment scheme project. And that's something that we've just launched last year. We're looking at a smaller number of sites, 6 sites in total, but we have 2 of those in Donegal. So we have public meetings on Monday and Tuesday of next week, and we'll be given an overview of those. So They're relevant to farmers from Loch Nillan SAC and from Sleaf Tui SAC, those 2 sites in particular.
So it's significant that it's results-based.
That's right, it is. It's something that you'll hear a lot about at the moment with the new CAP strategic plan and so on. And the results-based, and I suppose Ireland is ahead of the posse in Europe in terms of its development of these results-based schemes. And I suppose you might say, well, what on earth is a results-based scheme? But the basic principle of the results-based scheme is that a farmer's environmental payments relate to its ecological quality or its environmental quality. So we typically use a scorecard. So the higher the score out of 10 for like a field or a bog or a hill or whatever, the higher the payment. So there's a very good payment for your 10 out of 10, and there's plenty of that around the place. And there's, you know, there's little or no payment for your 0 out of 10. So that's the basic idea of it anyway.
So tell us a little bit about what's happened in County Mayo, because you had a very good response down there, something in the region of 170 farmers participating in the scheme. What exactly did they have to do?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. So in 2020, they came in Owen Duffnaithan SAC, and those farmers, they're obviously the first of our tranche, and we're rolling it on in 2022 in preparation for the new CAP. But those farmers, with the results-based payments, you get a payment that relates to the quality of your land. And what do you need to do for that? You don't actually need to do anything for that. The whole idea here is that what happens is that when one gets a payment, well, it might be a 7 out of 10 relating to one field, in your mind as a farmer, you think, well, Jeannie, you know what, I have the flexibility to maybe improve that if I wanted to. And for that, we have an additional funding stream for that. We call them supporting actions. And it might be something simple like, fencing if it was a damage to a water course, or if someone wanted to restore their peat land, or whatever it might be, that there'd be payments there that would relate to improvement of the score. So from a basic level, your score out of 10 is for almost rewards historical management rather than actually what you actually have to do. In fact, you have to do nothing to receive the results-based payment, but what happens after that is very often, you know, it's kind of a change in the approach from other schemes in that, you know.
So ultimately, it is an opportunity for people in these areas to perhaps boost their incomes. Is there much involved in terms of the actual payments?
Well, that's another good question. I mean, so it's we have a minimum payment in this pilot project of 800 euro. So I suppose someone doesn't do any worse than that. And like for that, their land will be scored. A farmer will know exactly what their payment will be for that and where they stand, because we have to bear in mind that the new cap from 2023 is going to be, and for many of these areas, you know, up along the west coast, will have this cooperation measure, and that's in the new ACM, the new Agri-Environment Climate Measure in the CAP. And so from 2023, the Agri-Environment Payments, the new GLAS as such, will be through this mechanism, through a very similar mechanism to what we're demonstrating. And what we're doing, it is our project on the results-based side of things, lasts for a year, and it's really a taster for what comes after that. Although the other aspects of the project will go on until 2029, but the key results-based payment that we have is for 2022.
So while you're on, maybe you can tell us a little bit more just about the whole Wild Atlantic Nature Life programme itself.
Yeah, very good. I mean, it's a large EU-funded or partly EU-funded programme under the Life stream. So that's a stream of funding that Ireland hasn't been traditionally very good at drawing down from Europe. It's outside of CAP, so it's new money coming into the country. And our overall target or focus is blanket bog and the associated habitats, so pretty much most of the habitats that are designated and those alongside them in the west of Ireland. So we'd have 10 partners in it, you know, stretching from Department of Agriculture, Department of Housing and National Parks and Wildlife Service and right through Chagas, Gortee, Fáilte, Ireland and several others there. And essentially the objective is to improve the quality of our peatlands. And one big aspect on it is we know the climate crisis, and we know all about the biodiversity crisis and loss of our biodiversity and decline in water quality. And a big part of our remit is to look at ways of addressing that work on the ground. And a key focus, I think, is the farmer, essentially, because as someone once said, that you know, the farmers are the first responders in the biodiversity crisis and in the climate crisis, and there are absolutely our best, there are soldiers as such, you know, and I think support for those is extremely important. So there's a lot of aspects to it. We're involved with community groups, and we welcome communications and contact from community groups. We visit schools and so on. So there's a big range of aspects that we cover. Our website is wildatlanticnature.ie as well. So there's a lot of information there on that.
Great. So just to recap once again, a couple of meetings next week, and they will offer those who are in attendance a chance to meet the project team and to, I suppose, any questions that they may have, and they'll get a really good insight into what's just involved.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a straightforward presentation that we give, and we're there for questions, whatever is on your mind as such.
And that was Derek McLaughlin, the Project Manager of the Wild Atlantic Nature Life IP. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 31st of March. The death has occurred of Bridie Farrell, Gortna Grace, Castle Finn. Bridie's remains will repose at Lynch's funeral home, Castle Derg, from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock to her late home at Gortna Grace, Castle Finn. Funeral from there on Saturday at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Dunnyloop. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has occurred of Bridget Rogers, Cronagoogie, Crawley. Remains will repose at Midlin's funeral home with rosary tonight at 8 o'clock, viewing tomorrow from 11 with removal to her late residence at 7:30. House strictly private to family only, please. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 in Minowheel Chapel, with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. The death has taken place of Billy Graham, Tully Remelton. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny this evening at 6 o'clock, going to his home. Funeral service on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in Letcher Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Hughie Murlihan, 49, Ardnaree, Letterkenny. Hughie's remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 7:30 to 9:30 this evening. Funeral Mass in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, tomorrow afternoon at 1. Burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. The house is strictly private, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the Irish Martyrs Facebook page. The death has taken place of Patrick Duffy, Carrickatascan, Derry Beg. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Gador, until 8 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 5 to 6:30. Rosary tonight at 8. Removal tomorrow at 6:30 to St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, for 7 o'clock, reposing overnight. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, on Saturday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Gerard Cunningham, late of Thomas Court Bawn, Dublin 8, formerly of 7 Pierce Gardens, Strabane. Funeral from his nephew Gerard Cunningham's home at 77 Lisnavin Park tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Lily Donaghy, née Kerr, 29 Columban Terrace, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on melmountparish.com. And the death has taken place of Brendan Gallagher, Montlink, Galdena Manor, Cunningham. Brendan's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Columba's Church, Drumahl, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.